Now, since the pandemic began, it's been a little difficult, if not awkward, to go to the movie theater. So as a result, millions of people like me who like to watch movies, we signed up for Netflix. Anybody else sign up for Netflix in the past year or so? Yeah, I imagine quite a few of us. Well, guess what? I learned something during this time. That we will watch an entire series on Netflix when the first episodes are terribly slow and boring just because somebody said it gets better. You find yourself doing that? Yeah. But this led me to thinking about our life and our faith. I mean, what if we looked at our life and our faith and our goals like that instead? What if we watched our life get better instead? See, that's how grace works. That's how God's grace works. It helps make you better at life. It helps make life better and you better at life through Jesus Christ. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about grace, and I've asked you to think about grace in terms of the movie trend of having a main movie and then having a prequel and a sequel. And if you didn't already know, a prequel is a movie that follows, but it actually takes place before the first one, and a sequel takes place after the first one. And last week, I asked us to think about our understanding of grace within these terms. See, as we're spending these past several weeks and the next couple of weeks exploring grace, in our first week on grace, we talked about God's justifying grace. And that's our primary understanding of grace. We know it as the grace that Jesus Christ offers us on the cross through his crucifixion. And we experience it when we become a new person, born again from heaven by accepting Christ into our life. That when we confess that he is our Lord and our Savior, that he is the principal focus of our life, it sparks a revolution in our life and in our heart. And from there on out, God works to transform us from the inside out. Then we explored the prequel. And that's how we experience God's grace before justifying grace. And it's called prevenient grace. This is the grace of God that goes out there before us and is already there when we arrive. It's how we experience God's grace that draws us closer to God. Sometimes, when we watch a movie or a series of movies, the first one is the best. Is your favorite movie series, is the first one the best to you? Yeah. Now, it's like that sometimes, but not always. And I want to encourage you, and I hope that as we go forward, that you will know and that you will see and you will experience God's grace better than ever before. Because today, we're exploring the sequel. This is how we experience God's grace after conversion. That is, after we give our life to Jesus, and we make that decision to go from a fan to a follower of Jesus, that is when we experience sanctifying grace. That is, we discover how to really live into the reality of God's love. And then we realize that grace is God's love in action, because grace leads you and I into action. What I mean is that God's words, God's promises aren't hollow. They're not meaningless. There's power behind them. There's action behind them. There is world-changing and life-changing results in following them. For example, I can say that I love you. And it doesn't matter how much I mean it, and I do, if I don't do something about it, you never really experience my love. You don't really know if I love you or not. That's because love requires words and actions. See, we have scriptures where God tells us over and over how much he loves us. Yet we also discover that God has done something about it. That God shows us his love through Jesus Christ. That God has been sharing and showing his love since before we ever existed. Now, this is in contrast to that story that we've all heard about the man who works so hard for his family. He works all his life for his family because he loves his family. And he shows it by working and providing for them. However, he never verbally tells them that he loves them. He never tells his wife or his kids how important they are to him. He just simply thinks that they'll figure it out. Yet, they didn't. Instead, they just thought of him as a hard-working dad or husband who really loved his job, who really loved his work, but they weren't really sure if he loved them. And maybe he was just obligated to take care of them. See, God's not like that. God wants you to know. God wants to make it clear and obvious. He tells his love, and he works to show you his love. And that is God's grace. Now, we're thinking, okay, God's all lovey-dovey, God's full of grace. Now, doesn't that just mean that grace means anything goes, that no matter what I do, God's going to love me because God's grace will cover it? Well, that's not how grace works. Instead, God's grace starts where you're at, but it doesn't leave you where you are. We see God's grace laid out for us in our scripture today. Peter says that God knew us beforehand. In fact, God chose us before we chose him. And now that he has chosen us, now that we have this new relationship, God is in the process of making us, making me and making you holy. And that by his mercy, he gives us new birth. This is a new chance, another chance to be with God, to be in right relationship with God, another chance to follow Jesus, another chance to get it right and to make life better. What's more is that you have the eternal promise, you have the promise of eternal life waiting for you. Now, that means that God loves you just as you are. Absolutely. But God loves you too much to leave you where you are. And so God invites you into his presence so that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he wipes away your past, all your mess, all your mistakes. He forgives your sins. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them no more. That's exciting. And that's God's prevenient and justifying grace. The thing is, God has done all of this on his own. You didn't do anything. You couldn't do anything. And you can't do anything to earn it or deserve it or to buy it. You can't even steal it. It's all God. You can only accept it. And that's God's love in action. Yet now that we've accepted it, now that we're here, now what? Now that we have this new life, this new opportunity, now what? Well, now it's on us. It's on me and it's on you to use it. See, God's process of making us holy is one of teamwork. Now we partner with God, and through the Holy Spirit, we show God that we're serious, that we meant it when we said we would follow Jesus. This is why grace isn't anything goes, because this is where God's grace partners with us to actually follow Jesus, to pick up our cross and to go after him. that through God's sanctifying grace, we take action and we participate with God. This is where the inward holiness, what God has done on our inside, leads to an outward holiness, and we show it on the outside. Here's a metaphor to help us understand it a little bit better. Does anybody like to fish? Some of us do. I like to fish. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy it. Well, for those of you that have ever been fishing, when was the last time that you went out fishing and you cast your line and you reeled it in and you caught a fish and you brought it in and it was already clean and ready to eat? Anybody? Yeah, dream on. No, it doesn't work like that. That doesn't happen. And it didn't happen for Jesus either with those who were following him then. The disciples, the apostles, it didn't happen with any of them. They didn't just pop up ready to go, perfect. And it's not going to happen with us. It's not going to happen with the church either. Because you cannot clean a fish before you catch it. You reel them in. We let the Holy Spirit do the cleansing work of God. Prevenient grace is the lure. Justifying grace is the catch. Sanctifying grace is that cleaning process. It's the process of the Holy Spirit stripping away our bad habits that distract us from God. It's the process of the Holy Spirit remaking us, giving us new habits that bring us closer to God and making us more like Christ. Looking at what Peter wrote for us again today in our scripture, Peter tells us to rejoice that we have hope because we are guarded by God's salvific or God's saving power. That even though we will experience stress and de-stress, we will experience hardships and hard days, we will experience pain and grief and anxiety, we still have hope. And that's part of God's process of making us holy. That's sanctifying grace. Now, God isn't causing our problems. Rather, God is using our problems to refine us, to make us pure, better, more holy. There's a passage in Micah where it says, the refiner looks into the refining pot, that as he's refining the gold or the silver, until he can see his own reflection. That's sanctifying grace. So the next time things get difficult and you're praying or crying out to God, remember that song, Sanctuary. Anybody remember that song, Sanctuary? Yeah. It goes, if you're not familiar with it, or maybe you think you do, it goes kind of like this. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. See, God's sanctifying grace is God's grace that is working in you to make you a sanctuary, a holy vessel for God's presence and God's love in this world. It's the grace of God that makes you more like Jesus. The ancient Greek church had a word for this called theosis, that literally means becoming like God. So when you fall, when you have a bad day, when you mess up and you realize that your old dead self got its way and you find yourself down in sin because you weren't loving God or loving your neighbor, you realize that. Get up, brush yourself off, turn back to God, and follow Jesus again. That's God's sanctifying grace at work. And at first, you may find this happens a whole lot more than you like and way more than you're ever willing to admit. You hang in there, because you'll find each day that as you go forward, you get a little bit better. You not only start seeing God's grace, you start experiencing God's grace more and more. And then you also start sharing God's grace with those around you. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that the greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall. In other words, don't let the setbacks get you down, because failures are part of our success. We don't like them, we don't want to repeat them, but we're going to learn from them and we're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving forward. And that's God's sanctifying grace, which is making us better each and every day. I pray that we all get this revelation of grace, that as Peter wrote, this will result in genuine faith, genuine trust in God, and a genuine joy that reminds you of your salvation and even helps you to experience it right here, right now, in your circumstances, no matter what. Now, some of us might be all or nothing kind of people. And you know what I mean when I say all or nothing, that someone that says, I want to do it right, and I want to do it all right now, perfect, and I want to get it done and get it over with. And if I can't get it all done, if I can't get it perfect and get it right, then I don't want to do it at all. Maybe we've been there. If that's you, I want to invite you to rephrase that. I want to encourage you to look at it a little differently. Let's not let our pride get in the way of God's progress, of God's work in our life. Because when it comes to grace, it's never all or nothing. Instead, it's always something. It's always progress. God is always working in us, in you, through you, around you. Because you are God's work in progress. You are God's masterpiece in the making. And God is not through with you yet. God is in the business of bringing heaven to earth. And so for us, for me, for you, that means God is not only making you better, God is in the process of making you perfect. Or as John Wesley would say, perfect in love. That's God's sanctifying grace. So may we all embrace God's grace. Work with the Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus and grow into that perfect vessel of God's love. Amen.